Welcome. German teams have turned the corner in the European competition, with all three winning the first legs of their knockout ties. Bayern Munich were dominant in their matchup with Besiktas with the help of Thomas Müller. Does that make them a bigger contender for the Champions League title? And Wolfsburg have hopped back on the coaching carousel after Martin Schmidt quit on them. Will the turmoil drag them towards the bottom of the division? This is Tribuna After Dark. Davis van Opdorp here with Jonathan Harding for an After Dark edition of the Tribuna podcast. We figured since the Bayern Munich were playing in the Champions League that and we missed the Martin Schmidt news, that we decided to do an extra pod. So let's talk about Bayern Munich first. They won 5-0 against Besiktas. When I saw you, you thought they only won 4-0.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to keep up with the number of goals that Bayern Munich score. That's for sure.
But it really, for me, a little bit disappointing, because Besiktas looked so good in the group stage and they achieved something so historic for a Turkish club, that it is a shame that a red card decision in the within the first 20 minutes of a game kind of decides this entire tie that's going to last basically over the next 4 weeks. So
it is a shame. It's a shame that the red card changed the game, but I also think it's getting to the point now where it's a bit tiring saying Bayern Munich are playing really well, but they have to be careful of Team X in the first round of the Champions League, because the gap is enormous. And we've seen some great ties so far in the Champions League, obviously with Real Madrid getting Paris Saint-Germain, Barcelona getting Chelsea. There's some good clashes early on, and I think that's important. But, it's Bayern Munich are just a much better team. And the red card spoiled the game a little bit. And if Wagner Love scores that chance, then maybe it's a little different. But how many times have we said that about his teams going to Munich and not scoring a chance that might have changed the complexion of the game? But you've got to credit Bayern. You've got to. I mean, 5 goals, absolutely trounced it. Müller playing well and scoring, that's really impressive. Dealing with James coming off injured, that's not easy.
Yeah, and also a game that Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben didn't start.
I know, and a slight transition. It felt like maybe this was the first tiny baby step away from those two being massive playmakers. That being said, it seems like Bayern can't do that, because James gets injured, Robin comes on, and he's amazing and basically dictates and orchestrates the entire game plan. So
I think the decision, first of all, I don't think this decision to drop Arjen Robben and Frank Ribery was made on Monday or Sunday.
No.
I think actually it was made when the draw came out, and Jupp Heynckes was saying, I need to basically get these two guys the playing time that they feel comfortable with getting, because I want to set them in the first leg of the Champions League. I honestly think that it was the better matchup to have Thomas Müller on the right wing, giving players like Vida and giving Pepe problems running off of Robert Lewandowski.
More physical,
right?
And that makes a difference.
It took the red card for them to score any of their goals. But even before that, they had over 30 shots in the game. And Thomas Müller was getting involved right away. And you could see that he had he was really taking advantage of the space that Robert Lewandowski was leaving him. He was also doing his due diligence on the right wing as well. I really think that this was a matchup decision, and I think that and that's what's so great about Jupp Heynckes, is that he might have known this way before. I mean, this is totally speculative, but he might have known this way before Sunday or Monday, and decided to get these guys their reps first and make them feel as part of this team, and then sit them when he wants to do something else.
I mean, the tactical move is right. It was a smart move. I think if you had someone like Robin or Ribery out wide against a Pepe or a Vida, you're going to get sort of, that's just going to tackle them all game, you know, and that's going to be uncomfortable. I mean, that being said, I thought the balance of Müller and Coman was very nice.
Yes.
And you had that quick, dynamic winger, and then you had a physical, I'm going to be in all the areas that you can't cover kind of winger on the other side. And that worked really well, compensated each other very well, which is kind of scary for European teams that potentially play Bayern later on in this competition, because that's another type of play or system style that Bayern can now play.
Yeah, I wouldn't extrapolate it so far quite yet. I think there's
I think when Arjen Robben was not on the field, I think it was noticeable because you had players taking shots that just, I mean, Javi Martinez taking a shot from outside of the area with the side of his foot. You know, Arjen Robben would put his laces behind that and maybe cause more problems than some other players would. And I think that the finishing that Arjen Robben provides was missing before he came on.
Yeah, but when he said, but when he did come on, obviously exactly. It makes a big difference. The fact that they scored 5 goals and ended the tie is almost laughable.
Yeah.
Because it means that, ironically, Heynckes rested all the guys at Wolfsburg for this game. They play, although he sits Robin and Ribéry, as you say, perhaps tactically, which makes sense based on the things we've just talked about. And now he can play the same team that played in Wolfsburg, if not other people on top of that, for the second leg, because they're not going to throw 5 goals. This isn't PSG, right?
Yeah, so that's another part, important part of this context, because a week and a half ago, we talked about what they would do and how they would
rhythm,
basically keep the rhythm of the team and also rest some of their players. I counted the number of changes he made. He made 9 changes in 2 consecutive games, and that's a lot of turnover.
Yeah, but we're in that phase of the season, aren't we? Late February, early March. This is business time in the season.
Yeah.
And
but do you think that could pose a problem later in March and April when it matters, or do you think this is what Heynckes does?
Absolutely. I think what a lot of successful managers do, if they can make it work. You know, if you make those 9 changes and you play terribly, then it looks bad. But at the moment, the club, the group that he's got at the club is a perfect balance, you know. Sandro Wagner has understood his role. He's not complaining. You know, now they've got backup for Lewandowski, doesn't play the Augsburg away games anymore. And that, it makes such a big difference. You can still keep him in form, you know, and amusingly, he still has to come off in Wolfsburg and score your winner in the last moment. But the balance that they've got to the squad is really, really nice. And I think one of the stories that we cannot forget, and it might be the story of the season if they go on and win the treble, is Sven Ulreich. I mean, goodness gracious me. You know, this is a keeper that was decent, is by all accounts a very humble man, you know, constantly probed and questioned about whether he'd be in the World Cup squad. He just said they're better keepers. And he's done brilliantly for Bayern. He's performed, he had a little bit of a wobble, but he's settled, he's calmed himself, he's gone away, he's improved. And you know what, if it wasn't for Manuel Neuer being such an amazing goalkeeper, there's a legitimate piece of evidence here in Ulreich's form to just say, well, Bayern don't need a better keeper than Sven Ulreich.
He wasn't really busy at all.
No, but he doesn't need to be. And he makes a couple of saves and he can be involved in the play. And I know he's not a sweeper keeper anywhere near like
Neuer. Doesn't have to be.
But he doesn't have to be. You've won 5-0 in the Champions League in the last 16. He's done a decent job in the league. He gets you 3 points at Stuttgart by saving a last-minute penalty. You know, he's done so many things across the season that if Bayern get there, he, for me, has got to be your number one unsung hero.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think our friend Archie was talking about this when he was when with Matt a few weeks ago, and he definitely, I think he deserved the contract extension that he got until 2021. I think it's interesting that he's kind of accepted this role behind Neuer. And
but let's be honest, he's done more in this period of time than most backup keepers to Neuer have ever done.
I would even say he's done more in this season than he had in
any of his careers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I definitely think that's a good shout. But I do think that if you looked at the back of Bayern Munich in this game, it's a little troubling that Ricardo Quaresma and Love got around them so easily. I've seen some Bayern fans on social media that have said, yeah, let's one. I mean, we can't overreact to a 5-0 basically keeping a clean sheet, because they actually didn't really look that good defensively.
No, and there were a couple of chances. You know, yeah. Wagner Love had chances, and you're right to say that they found a way through. I think that is concerning, but I also think that that's part of the way that Bayern sometimes play. You know, when you get your foot down and you're trying to score 2, 3, 4, 5 goals, there's inevitably going to be gaps at the back. I think what worried me a little bit was just the slightly slow reactions from Hummels and Boateng sometimes, yeah. Sort of stepping up out of the line and to make the tackle or to approach those situations. They were just a step too slow sometimes, and I think if that continues, say in the next round you play Barcelona or Real Madrid, a step too slow in those situations, that's when you get punished, yeah. And a 5-0 turns into a 3-3.
Boateng knows what it's like to be a step too slow against Lionel Messi.
But yes, he does. But that being said, he also knows what it's like to absolutely dominate Lionel Messi in a World Cup final. So
that's true.
He's done both.
Yeah, he's done both. Now, we've talked about a little bit this a week and a half ago, but Does this change anything that you, any reservations you might have had about Bayern Munich in the Champions League? Or is this kind of a result that we just take with a grain of salt because they were playing against 10 men?
Yeah, it's difficult. I think the 10 men kind of spoils it. I really thought the Besiktas might cause them some problems. Yeah. But at the same time, we're in
this
situation where, once again, you know, this whole Bayern have to be careful approach.
Yeah.
Do they? They're legitimately one of the top four teams in Europe for a reason. Yeah. So, I mean, they've only got themselves to blame if they can't make the semis again.
And if PSG, I mean, one of Real Madrid and PSG is not going to make the quarterfinals.
Absolutely.
So that's, I think, one of the teams that many thought would make. I mean, I think Manchester City is now in the mix as it used to be Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, and Barcelona, and Team D, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
I think Manchester City might take that Team D spot, depending.
I think the way they're playing under Pep Guardiola, certainly. Yeah. Absolutely.
But I do think that if... I would trust Jupp Heynckes to get the balance right more than any other manager. And I think it's funny because they kind of play two completely different ways. With James and Rodriguez on the field, they kind of were playing more balls over the top. Robert Lewandowski and Thomas Müller had to hold up the ball a little bit more, and then you bring in Arjen Robben instead of James Rodriguez, and all of a sudden it's just a completely different style of play. And I brought this up before. It was this. I mean, in their treble year, I mean, Toni Kroos got hurt in against Juventus in the quarterfinals, and for maybe some managers that would have completely changed the complexion of their tactics. But all he did was just slide Thomas Müller in the middle, put Arjen Robben on the right. And yeah, it did change the way that they played, but it didn't really matter because he had everybody knew what they were supposed to do. And that's why he's such a good manager.
I think he gets the balance right. And I think it's dangerous for other sides in Europe if Bayern can be so flexible. I mean, the fact that they were able to use Robben in the second half when he came on, well, just at the end of the first, in a different way to the way they played in the first, and be effective in both, really. I mean, obviously they scored all the goals basically in the second, but there was no doubt, as you said, that they had enough pressure in the first to score more than they did. And if they can be that good going forward, then yeah, the rest of Europe should be scared.
All right, so the other piece of news that actually happened right as Matt Ford and I were recording.
Always happens.
Was the coaching carousel is back up and cranking, and Wolfsburg is on for a little bit of a ride, and they but it's a very interesting situation because Martin Schmidt quit on them, resigning. And you see, if you paid attention to some of the fan banners as well. Some rather amusing ones. And they basically center around the fact that the fans were not happy with the team's effort under Martin Schmidt. And that's kind of what his hallmark is. He gets everybody, of all of his players, up to play. That's what he did at Mainz for many years. And he did that also in Switzerland. And it was very fascinating to me. I'm assuming that that Sport Bild or Kicker is going to have the inside scoop of why he actually decided to leave his post. But what do you make of this?
It seems like he tried very hard to get the dressing room on his side. And I think a few seasons ago we said that there were a few players at Wolfsburg that really needed to move on. They'd been there too long. You know, Ricardo Rodriguez, Diego Benaglio, players that were like, you know, if you need to move now rather than just stagnating. And because I think then you end up with too much power at a club. I think that a few of the figures now at Wolfsburg have started to become the newer versions of that. I'm thinking of Maxi Arnold.
Yeah.
Daniel Didavi, less so because he's been around, but he's obviously a key player in that team. There are certain players I'm starting to feel like they might have more of a central role and a little bit more power in those situations. But more importantly, I keep feeling like every time I look at the Wolfsburg team sheet on a Saturday, there are new names on there or different names. And I feel sometimes like this isn't really a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite a unified, and Schmidt's trying to do the best, or did try to do the best that he could with that. But I think maybe, obviously, as you say, the scoop will be revealed at some point. But was it a team? Did he get to a point where he couldn't do any more? He couldn't glue any bits together anymore? He'd done everything that he could. And it's a shame, really, because I'm not saying they played better football, but they were certainly getting more results
yeah.
Than in the past, even if a lot of them were draws.
Yeah. When you see Gianluca Itter on the team sheet instead of someone like Yannick Gerhardt or some of the other defenders that they bought too.
Yeah, it makes me question what the real atmosphere is like at that club. But that comes back to the things we've said about Wolfsburg time and time again. What is Wolfsburg?
Yeah.
You know, and I think if Martin Schmidt came in with an idea of creating a football culture for this city or for that team that didn't go with the current group's thinking, then that's obviously one of the reasons that they've come to the decision that they've come to. A big, big change now for them.
I think the
season is on the line. You know, they're in the relegation fight.
I think that's the biggest question is now they kind of distance themselves a little bit from the relegation zone, but not enough.
They got well beaten by Bremen, and there's a certain point where you're thinking, you know, if you're going to lose to the sides around you, you're going to get dragged back in.
But also, I mean, to go back to Martin Schmidt, it's kind of curious that this happened after the Bayern Munich game where Bayern Munich were basically playing a reserve team.
And they deserved, and Wolfsburg perhaps deserved, like so many sides, far more than they got against Bayern. But
yeah, so I'm curious if maybe he saw that, he saw that as an opportunity for them to get points against the top team in the league. And
I think
the fact that they couldn't is
maybe
it was telling enough.
Maybe a decision like that isn't impacted by a result against Bayern.
Yeah.
Especially against Bayern. I think if he had been deciding or considering something like this, then it would have been something he'd been dragging over a while.
Yeah, at the time it was just a little bit curious.
Yes,
sure. But yeah, like I said, they haven't really distanced themselves from the relegation zone, and they've brought in what Germans call a Feuerwehr trainer, which is
good.
Called a basically a firefighter manager, which is basically it was a concept that, I mean, Huub Stevens was a firefighter manager for a while.
Mm.
I think Mirko Slomka at some point not anymore.
He's putting up the fires rather than putting them out.
Exactly. It's a shame that Bruno Labbadia's career has kind of resulted in this.
Yes, agreed.
But what do you think that's basic? What do you make of his appointment? Basically,
I think he's a really good guy, and I think he's actually a pretty underrated coach. I think he did a decent job at Hamburg and was pretty wronged by the board there. Mm. Wasn't given enough time. I think he
wasn't even given the right players.
Yeah, absolutely, wasn't given any time. Wasn't given the players. I think Wolfsburg are very lucky to have Bruno Labbadia, and I think Bruno Labbadia is probably just keen to get back into management. I don't actually think that Labbadia, the kind of coach and person that he is, fits very well with Wolfsburg, because I always thought that he belonged at a club with slightly greater culture, slightly bigger roots. Mm.
Darmstadt would love him.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's got to be realistic with what he's got. And I think we've talked about this enough. You know, there is a culture in Wolfsburg. It's just not a very appealing one to a lot of people or to a potential manager. Can he do a job? I think, yes, absolutely. I think this might well be the appointment that sees them step away from the bottom four or five teams. But the question is, has he got the players to do that? And that's where I'm a little question marks still remain, because Younes Malley is obviously talented. Daniel Didavi is important. But players like Jules Vagy, who I personally think should be playing better than he is, there are certain players, or Maxi Arnold, another one. You know, I have high opinions of his ability, but where is he now? Where's your performance?
Yeah.
Colin Castile's is playing not bad. You know, he's at least stepping up. But you can't have just momentary flashes. And I think the good players in this team need to really step up if Wolfsburg are going to going to avoid it, because it's going to be a difficult run. There are teams around them. I'm thinking of Bremen, I'm thinking of Mainz, maybe even Augsburg at the rate that things are going with their form. You've got to Hertha, Freiburg, all these teams that are just flirting with or on the fringes of the relegation battle.
Are you worried that Wolfsburg could get relegated?
Yeah, which is a legitimate thing. But we're not talking about automatic relegation, because I think Cologne and Hamburg are done. Yeah. But I think it's all about the playoff spot between Mainz, Wolfsburg and Werder Bremen. I think those will be the three teams that will be battling it out. And based on the performance and based on the football that's been played, I think Werder Bremen deserve to stay up and need to get the results to represent the improvements that they've made.
Yeah.
They're a bit hot and cold, but it's between those three.
Yeah, I think I think we'll get into the relegation battle. I think it was really fascinating again this year. One thing I wanted to bring up, though, it's interesting that you brought up that he has to basically get his... He doesn't have time to add players.
No, he doesn't.
And that's because, I mean, a lot of the... If you look at the trends in the Bundesliga, especially over the last two seasons, there has been a lot of coaching turnover, but it happens at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely.
It happens in the first half when a coach can then maybe make some transfer requests in January and get some of the players that would fit his system better. That's not going to happen here. You know, there's he's stuck with Joshua Gilovogi trying to figure out what he's supposed to do. He's stuck with what Bruma and Jonathan...
Jeffrey Bruma, another one. Yeah. How has he dropped off so far? I mean, it's so strange. But that makes me think it's a mentality thing. And I think that's where Labbadia comes in and changes the mindset, ups the work rate, and questions the player's desire to stay in the top flight. Simple as that. I mean, it's simple as that. That's what he's got to do. And that's got to then translate into performances on the pitch. I think, and obviously don't quote me on this, but I think actually Wolfsburg do play Mainz and or Bremen in the last 10 games. So those are going to be huge games.
Yeah, the six-pointers that they need.
Absolutely.
So that'll do it for this special After Dark edition of the Tribuna podcast. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, and if you do, please leave us a friendly review. You can also like our Tribuna Podcast Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Tribuna Podcast. You can find Jonathan Harding on Twitter at JohnBlog66, and I'm at Davis_Venomdor. Before we go, here is our stat of the week. With their victory over Besiktas, Bayern Munich are now unbeaten in their last 62 games where Thomas Müller has scored. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you next week.